And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program today, Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese previews with Charles Greenfield a new season of concerts coming up for Symphony of the Americas. Film critic Dan Hudak speaks with the producer, director, and star of the award-winning new Spanish film, Living is Easy, with eyes closed. It will open in Dade and Broward this weekend. Chef Norman Van Aken whips up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. It's a Miami music legend. Established in 1979, Churchill's Pub has presented just about every kind of rock music and so much more over the decades. Classic rock, punk, ska, hip-hop, soul, reggae, singer-songwriter, acoustic, and many more musical genres have filled Churchill's funky rooms for years. It boasts Miami's longest-running jazz jam sessions. Local bands like Marilyn Manson, The Mavericks, and Iron and Wine have played on stage. The legend has grown so big that the likes of R.E.M., U2, and Iggy Pop have come by to enjoy the music and ambience. Like CBGB's in New York, Churchill's Pub will now be memorialized in a locally produced documentary called Little Haiti Rock City, if its Kickstarter campaign is successful. The deadline is next Thursday, July 3rd at 11:59 p.m. And we want to welcome to the show director and producer of the documentary, Franco Parente, and its producer and publicist, Angel Eva Markoulis. And welcome to South Florida Arts Beat, Franco and Angel.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having us.
Hello. Thank you, Ed.
First off the bat, the question that comes to me is why Churchill's? You might have chosen other legendary Miami music clubs, Tobacco Road, Washington Square, Roses, Stephen Talkhouse, among many others. Why Churchill's?
Well, for two major reasons. One, Churchill's is still here. Most of those other places you mentioned have come and gone. And while Tobacco Road is still here and kicking, Churchill's boasts original music 7 nights a week. And that's something that you can't really say about a lot of places.
Plus, you've spent a lot of time there, I'm sure.
Well, I was going to try to keep that for later for tidbits to
talk
about.
Both of you have, Angel?
Yeah. I've only been in Miami for just under 11 years. And I've been going maybe for the last five. So not as long a history, but definitely right.
What brought you to the idea of let's do a documentary about this joint?
Well, the news broke, Liz Tracy broke the news into the world that Churchill's had signed some documents about selling the place. And within the hour, my phone was, as they say, blowing up with text messages and Facebook messages and whatnot, because people know how much that Churchill's has meant in my history.
And you're the film guy.
And I'm the film guy, exactly. So it very quickly became evident that this story needed to be told, and when I looked around the room, I was the only one standing there, so it was time to grab a camera and start telling the story.
Now, you're a Miami-born and bred, Franco, and you're from Vancouver.
I was raised in Vancouver, originally from California.
And yeah. Did film school bring you down here, Angel?
No, actually. My father took a job in the Bahamas.
Ooh.
This was the closest city I could see myself living in. My sister was down here as well, so I just ended up in Miami.
Mm-hmm. And you two met on previous film sites, no doubt?
Yeah, we were working on a project which will remain nameless at the moment. but we bumped into each other there. That's where we met. And then we ran into each other in a few other things. And then we started working together. And when this project came to be...
Well, working together, Franco kind of pointed at me and said, "You, I'm going to train you."
Okay.
I learned a lot working with Franco. We've done a lot of work together.
Yeah. And when it came time to start shooting this project, I kind of put the feelers out there to just a handful of people that I knew I could see myself working with over a period of time. And a lot of them came together. And for a lot of reasons, a lot of them had to move on for good reasons, too. Great projects that they became part of as well. And Angel just kind of threw herself into the fire and never looked back. She believed in the story and she believed in me. And we now stand by each other every day on this thing.
So as we mentioned, the Kickstarter rally will be tomorrow night at Churchill starting at 8 o'clock, featuring a ton of great bands. And most of those musicians, I dare say, were part and parcel of the long Churchill's history. Tell me about a few of them.
Yeah.
Well, the Pawn Shop Drunks, which will open up the night, they're actually the first band I ever went to go see at Churchill's was Young Turk, which was a band that was very popular down here in the early 90s. Red O'Neill, the lead singer, is still kicking today. And the Pawn Shop Drunks is his deal. Then we have Charlie Pickett, of course. Which,
wow. Huge part of Churchill's history.
Yeah, very big part of punk rock history.
And he's a lawyer, I hear.
He is. Mm-hmm. He is.
And hi, Charlie, if you're listening. Can't wait to have you.
And a darn good one, from what I understand. I hope not to need his services one day.
But a longtime rocker.
Oh, absolutely.
Decades down
and,
here,
and he,
yeah.
He hasn't lost a beat, and he's great on stage. So he'll be gracing the stage with his band. And then we've got kind of a mashup of punk rock history. We're calling them the Shark Dust Sisters. So there's a band called Shark Valley Sisters in town, which is Fausto Figueredo of Load, a historic punk band down here. Mm-hmm. Then there's Rob Elba from the Holy Terrors, which, say no more, if you know them, you know how great they were. And Russell Mofsky from Gold Dust Lounge, which I believe was on your show just mm-hmm. last week.
I take credit.
Yeah.
And formally another, of Quit.
Yeah, who's formerly of Quit. So three legendary punk bands joining together, mashing up together, and they say they've got a lot of surprises, so we can't wait. And then just to round that up, Rat Bastard, historic noise artist and just kind of godfather of Churchill's music.
And the noise scene down here.
And the noise scene down here and internationally. Yeah. And then we've got Humbert, which is one of my all-time favorites from down here. They've been rocking it hard for a long time. And we have one called FTMF. I can't really say their full name on the radio.
Thank you so
also
much.
Also the Tremens.
And the Tremens, which ties in a lot of the Latin kind of mashup influence of rock and roll down here in South Florida. And they're awesome. They're good friends, and they rock it hard, too. So it's going to be a great show.
That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
We also have special surprise guests remain to be seen or announced. We can't tell you.
Lauren
but
put
you
out
don't
a phone call to
it.
Iggy or something. <like this. laughs> So this project's been around for what? The better part of a year, I would assume, or correct me?
Actually, believe it or not, this project really, I mean, as much as I've always wanted to tell this story, it really started happening in March.
Okay, all
right. And just jumped right into it.
What
no
kind
waiting.
Of staffing have you brought together for this project? Because you don't have your funding yet.
We do
Kickstarter not. Hopefully will give you the necessary money to pay everybody.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this project is usually you do things the other way. We're doing things backwards because the announcement of the sale.
You have great faith.
Yes, we do. But the announcement of the sale made it evident that we needed to start shooting right away. And so we started production, and it was very important with the secrecy of everything that was going on. Nobody knew what was happening to start filming as soon as possible. So we dove right into production instead of diving into pre-production and fundraising. So now that the dust has settled and things are a little bit more clear, we've taken the time to start our fundraising, our Kickstarter campaign is cranking, and it's been doing really well. We're well over 50% of what we need to raise, but we need to raise a lot more. And we've got 6 days left to do it with Kickstarter. If we don't raise everything, we don't get anything. And the reason they do that is to protect the integrity of the project and to protect the contributions of the people. So, you know, we understand why they do it, but it's a big task, and we're asking for people to jump on board.
Big gamble. What's your backup plan?
Backup plans with documentaries. you know, it's keep shooting when we can, how we can. What's really important about making this now is that, as everybody knows in life, you know, when you put something down and you say, I'll come back to it, it's never the same when you do. And people move away. Yeah. People lose things. People start to disappear. People start to forget stories. And it's vital that this story be told now.
Franco Parente, the director and producer of Little Haiti, Rock City, together with Angel Eva Markoulis, the producer and PR gal of the documentary, hoping that they will accrue the necessary funds through a Kickstarter program. And for more info, littlehaitirockcity.com. You can call them directly at 786-506-2753. If you got a big contribution, make that call right now. Churchillsdoc@gmail.com is their email address. What are your hopes for Churchills? You hope it continues?
We hope that it changes little.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. The owners have expressed that they don't want to change it at all. We don't want to concentrate on what's going to happen from now. Our story is the history of the mm-hmm. last 35 years that Dave Daniels era and what's happened until now. We stand, you know, by them. We really hope it doesn't change. I think that they'd be remiss to make a lot of changes. You know, the Churchill's model works. You know, cleaner bathrooms. I think all the ladies can agree. That's cool.
I actually have pictures of the kitchen.
Yeah, well.
It already looks cleaner, I have to say.
No, I mean.
We'd love to see it stay a lot the same, though.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I mean, I think the changes that they've expressed to me that they want to make are changes that everybody would welcome.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, they're in the middle of a transition period. And I just think the more the old guard supports it, the less they are forced to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want everyone keep coming to Churchill's. Churchill still stands. You know, it's the people that make it.
You know, that's why we're doing our fundraiser there. That's why they're still supporting our film. They've allowed us to continue without any problem. And we honestly hope that 35 years from now, we're both still around and there's enough stories to want to do a sequel.
Well, here's my hope that Franco Parente and Angel Eva Markulis continue making documentaries about great music here in South Florida. Just a little thought. Franco Parente, the director and producer. Angel Eva Markulis, the producer and PR person for Little Haiti Rock City. Hopefully a new documentary if the Kickstarter program is successful. The deadline is next Thursday night at 11:59 p.m. For more info, go to Little Haiti Rock City. .com. You can call them directly at 786-506-2753 or go to churchillsdoc@gmail.com if you want to communicate with them. Thank you so much, Franco and Angel, for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you for having
Thank
us. And
much.
Guys, go to Kickstarter, look up Little Haiti Rock City, and pledge.
Thank you for your support, Ed.
You're listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak previews a new award-winning Spanish film opening this weekend in Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, our classical arts contributor Charles Greenfield previews a new season coming up for Symphony of the Americas.
While summer weather continues its humid descent into sticky discomfort, there's no need for despair as the great sounds of classical music wend their way throughout the northern regions of South Florida. Deep in the summer season, the Symphony of the Americas under Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese offers its Summerfest VIP reception July 18th in Fort Lauderdale to meet the musicians of the Mission Chamber Orchestra of Rome, on August 8th at Florida Atlantic University Theater in Boca Raton, and August 9th at the Amaturo Theater at the Broward Center. This international music ensemble from Rome, formed by the organization Music 4 under the artistic direction of composer, conductor, pianist Lorenzo Turkey Flores, will perform works by Mozart, Vivaldi, Saint-Saëns, Grieg, Sarasate, Dalabaco, Turkey Flores, and Cole Porter. In August, Summerfest continues at the University of Florida with a celebration of the Panama Canal 2014 centennial. Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese received his doctorate in opera conducting and musicology from Washington University, coached in a master class on Bach under the baton of Pablo Casals, and has studied with mentors like Leonard Slatkin of the St. Louis Symphony and Richard Karp of the Pittsburgh Opera. In 2005, Maestro Bruzzese was honored at Washington's Kennedy Center with the Hispanic Heritage Foundation's Award for the Arts in recognition of his lifelong work as a world-renowned conductor and his dedication to promoting classical music to youth around the world. Recently, I talked to James Brooks Bruzzese about the 2014 Summerfest concerts and the 2014-2015 season of the Symphony of the Americas. Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back here.
for Summerfest 2014, which is July 14th through August 17th. You're presenting the Mission Chamber Orchestra of Rome and its director, Lorenzo Turkiflores. Tell us about the group, its leader, and the program itself, which includes music from Mozart to Cole Porter.
We got it all. This summer, in a return engagement under the baton, of course, myself and visiting artistic director of the Mission Chamber Orchestra, Lorenzo Turkiflores, we will be doing concerts, which includes the music of the Carnival of Venice, La Bella Cubana, Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Sarasate, Dogniani, Grieg, Holtz, and a world premiere by our Italian composer and soloist Lorenzo Turkiflores, and a Panama composer, Juan Castillo, from Panama. The reason we're doing the piece by Juan Castillo is we're going to celebrate with the University of Florida in Gainesville the Panama Canal Centennial Celebration at the George M. Smathers Library, dedicating the Panama Canal Museum collection of the library, the biggest collection of the Panama Canal Memorial in the world. But 100 years ago, in 1913, the Panama Canal opened with the first ship going through called the USS Ancon, and we're celebrating that also.
I think when I went to the Panama Canal, I saw that number, 1914, on the Pacific side.
Right, right. It has it on the locks.
On the locks.
You see it right
there. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, the University of Florida, that's quite an honor. You're going to be there in August, but you're going to be here in South Florida in July. Where will the venues be here in South Florida?
We have several venues in which we'll be coming up. And actually, our territory is all the way from Miami Lakes, coming all the way up to Sunrise. We'll be in West Palm Beach, we'll be in Pembroke Pines, we'll be in Weston, we'll even be out by Christ by the Sea in Vero Beach. And then our two featured concerts will be Friday, August 8th at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, and Saturday, August 9th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, our Amaturo Theater, which is our home and our most beautiful little theater. We love it, and we are always there, and we work, in other words, throughout the entire season. We perform at the Broward Center for Performing Arts at the Amaturo Theater. It's the Rome Mission Chamber Orchestra, and we've added some players of ours in there. So it's called the Summerfest Orchestra.
A total of how many musicians?
22 to 23, yeah.
Okay.
Including the soloist.
Including the soloist. Now, let's talk about your 2014-15 season. It starts October 14th with the Venezuela-Italian piano duo Sergio and Barbara Solani at the Amaturo Theater in the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. What about this duo?
This is a fantastic duo. They were soloists long before in Venezuela with the Venezuelan Orchestra, and they have, of course, performed in Italy many times. And now we're honored that they're here and we'll be able to do music from Venezuela and from Italy. It's really the National Hispanic and Italian Month. So we're joining both together, the Italian and Hispanic music, putting it together and drawing music and from famous composers of both Italy and Venezuela.
So there'll be a little Verdi, I think, or not?
Yeah, we'll do a little Verdi. We have to do a little Verdi and Rossini.
Oh, Rossini.
Yes.
Now, November 9th and 11th, again at the Amaturo Theater, where you'll be actually all season, you are showcasing the magic of the Cirque de la Symphonie. It sounds intriguing. You're bringing circus skills choreographed to classical music, and I think adults will be as engaged as kids.
This is fantastic. We've done this a couple times already, and we play some of the best classical symphonic music to accompany these great artists that will be swinging all around on top of us and doing all kinds of acrobatic movements in which the people and the children and the audience, the elderly, they'll go really crazy seeing all of this. It's fantastic.
The end of the season this year, December 7th and 9th, it's called the Symphony Holiday. The Symphony of the Americas joined by the piano team of Dunlap and Pennington. What can we expect?
Nothing but great music. I went and watched them several times in the various areas here in Fort Lauderdale. They're really amazing. First of all, they do their own arrangements, and they usually do it with the two pianos because they don't have the orchestra. So now they're rearranging their arrangements to include the orchestra. I was blown away when I went to hear them, and I said to Renee Labonte, our executive director, I said, please, let's consider using them, and I'm so happy we have them coming.
Now, your first concert for 2015 is February 10th at, again, the Amaturo Theater. It's a fascinating title, Dvorak Totems.
I asked Kristen about that. And it makes sense in a way. The Native American culture, the totem, and the spirit of all of this embodies Dvorak when you think about it. It'll be a featured concert of the music of Dvorak. And Yehuda Hanani, I've worked with him before, and he's one of the great cellists. He also has a wonderful series in Miami at times, and he's very talented and a wonderful person to work with.
So Dvorak was one of our great American composers.
Well, not really, but he came to America. And he became an American composer in a way that he dedicated a lot of his music to what he saw and felt when he was here in our country.
March 10th, you return with your sold-out rendition of Symphony Classics and the Best of Broadway 2. This is a cross-genre program.
Yes, it's very interesting because we're always sold out. We do the classics, we do the pops, and then we do the Best of Broadway, and the people just love it, so we're going to continue. In fact, next year, we may even do two or three of those. And it's worth thinking about a matinee series of such music. The audiences really love it.
And you're ending the season April 7th and 12th with the Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida and the director Gordon Roberts. What are you planning for at the season event?
Gordon Roberts will actually program the concert because he knows what his choir can sing best. And if you haven't gone to hear the Gay Men's Choir, you really got to go here. They're terrific. They're really bombastic. The sound that comes out of these 150 men, it's really magnificent and wonderful. And we did like America the Beautiful. He takes Broadway tunes, he takes show tunes, and he combines it with the orchestra, and it's his arrangements. And this is really a fabulous concert. Everybody should go. The audience stands up after every piece. It's magnificent. And he'll be conducting some, and I'll be conducting some. And I had the pleasure of working with a wonderful artist. He's just fantastic. He's an arranger, he's also a great pianist, and he's a conductor. So we're fortunate to be working with such a great talent right here in our backyard in Fort Lauderdale.
Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese, I want to thank you for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
It's my pleasure, and I want to thank everybody, especially Miniacci and Savrick, who are sponsoring our festival. We, Madeline Savrick and Rose Miniacci, are just our backbone of our orchestra, and we thank them and all the other people that come. And thank you very much.
South Florida has matured in its summer offerings in the past decade. In Broward County, the Symphony of the Americas under Maestro James Brooks Bruzzese is sponsored by American Airlines, the Broward County Cultural Division, and Holland American Line, among others. The orchestra has created a terrific opportunity for various communities to enjoy a cool evening of classical favorites from Dvorak to Verdi and often commission works. For further information, please contact the Symphony of the Americas office at 954-335-7002 or go to their website at symphonyoftheamericas.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, our film critic Dan Hudak previews a new award-winning Spanish film screening now in Coral Gables and Fort Lauderdale.
Living is easy with eyes closed. Understanding all you see, it's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me.
We all have our idols, the people we look up to and admire for their intelligence, athleticism, talent, or any combination thereof. In an ideal world, we'd get to meet our idols and have them be every bit as wonderful as we imagine. But of course, the world is rarely ideal, though that doesn't stop us from dreaming. For Antonio San Roman, in the new film Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, meeting John Lennon would mean everything. It's 1966 in Spain, and with the Beatles still incredibly popular, Lennon takes a break from the band and ventures to Almeria on the southern coast of Spain to shoot a movie, which the Spaniard Antonio, a schoolteacher, sees as a golden opportunity to meet his idol and discuss his work. Naive Antonio thinks he can simply request an audience with Lennon and they'll chat. He soon learns it's not that easy. Along the way to the coast, Antonio picks up two hitchhikers, a pregnant woman and teenage boy, both of whom are running away from their problems. Together, they make an unlikely trio, but also a symbiotic one that forms touching, lasting relationships that resonate with genuine poignancy. Indeed, this is a wonderful, warm film, the winner of 6 Goya Awards, the Spanish Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Javier Cámara, and Best Director and Screenplay for David Treba. With Living is Easy with Eyes Closed getting its national release in South Florida this weekend at the Coral Gables Arts Cinema and Cinema Paradiso in Broward, we were fortunate to welcome Cámara and Treba to the downtown Miami WLRN studio to discuss the film. Javier, David, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. David, I want to start with you. The film, we know it's based on a true story of a teacher who ventured off to meet Lennon. How did you come to this story?
Well, that was by accident. I was on holidays in the south of Spain in Almeria, where the film took place, and we shot it there. And I was with my kids there, and suddenly one day they were celebrating like 40 years of the stay of John Lennon in Almeria doing a movie there with Richard Lester and a British movie. And so they were celebrating that, and they were putting like this big monument on Lennon's. And suddenly somebody was telling this anecdotes around that time, and it was this anecdote about this English teacher that was using Beatles songs to teach English to Spanish students, and he met Lennon, and he was looking for Lennon because he was using this song, and he was telling that Lennon, John Lennon, was very surprised to discover, because he was a bad student when he was a young guy, so he was very, very surprised that somebody was using their songs to teach English. So, and he wanted to help this guy. And this story, this anecdote was, for me, it was like an example of, you know, the kind of characters that I like, the kind of people that I like to put in my movies, you know, the people that they don't stop in the difficulties, you know, when they think they can do something, they can improve their work, they can do things better. So they do it and they fight for that. And so I started to think maybe this is a good film.
And Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, people will, of course, recognize the lyrics from the Beatles song Strawberry Fields Forever. How did you come to choose that as the title?
Well, that was a long travel too, because the film was originally titled, it has an official title called Almeria 1966, which is the time when Lennon came to Spain and when this thing happened, and the teacher, you know, he's a real teacher in Spain. He's becoming now 90 this week on the 29th. And so that was at that time. But I didn't like it very much, that title, you know, it was like a working title. And so I was looking for something that tells a little bit of the sunny side of the story, you know, because this teacher is a very bright character. He's charming, he's generous, he's an idealist, this kind of Don Quixote kind of personality. And suddenly I started to read the lyrics of this song that Lennon made in Spain, because the funny thing is that he composed that song when he was in Spain, which is very important for us. So I was reading Strawberry Fields Forever, and one of the first verses says, "Living is easy with eyes closed." And I understood that Lennon was speaking about the difficulties between reality and dreams and ideals, and how do you deal with that, with your success? How do you continue to be a person that even you are very famous, but you continue to do the things you like to do, and you consider yourself free? And so that he was in at that difficulty at that time. And I think the teacher and the character of the movie, the central character of the movie, he's having the same problems. He's always fighting against reality with his ideals. And suddenly this verse, "Living is easy with eyes closed," just opened for me the real significance of the whole film.
Javier, you play the teacher mm-hmm. in the film. Did you get a chance to meet the real gentleman on whom the film is based?
Well, I remember the first rehearsal with David. We were talking about how to build this character. No? And he started to write the script without any knowledge about this man. And I thought that it was good for me to compose the character only by my own. No, but the day that we were taking our cars to go through Almeria, in the middle of the way was this teacher's home. And of course we called him and we thought that it was a real baptism to know this man with all our work behind us and to put something in contact, no? To, I don't know, for me it was like a real baptism. And it was a very nice day. And I recognized this man, I recognized something that I was working on it, no? In this character. He's a man who is, he's a teacher, he's a real teacher. He's a man who knows, who wants to know about you. He's not a man who is giving answers. He's a man who is asking, how are you, what are you doing? A lot of questions, and I love this kind of attitude in his life, no? And mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this attitude is going to help me to close the character, and I was really happy to meet him, because I think he's a very energetic guy.
We're talking with writer-director David Treba and actor Javier Cámara. The film is Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, makes its North American exclusive opening run this weekend at Coral Gables Arts Cinema and Cinema Paradiso up in Fort Lauderdale. Javier, you've also worked with Pedro Almodovar, mm-hmm. very popular here in the yeah. States. You were in Bad Education. You were in Talk to Her. Can you compare working with David here with Almodovar?
Oh, okay, I can. That's incomparable. Well, I don't know. For me, it's the same. I don't think about what kind of a style a movie have or what kind of director I'm going to work with. I think the best idea is, my first question is how to put my soul in the character. I want to build a character, and I need help. And I recognize that the film is from the director, and I have to help this director to make his films. And sometimes it's Pedro, sometimes it's David Trueba, or sometimes it's another director, or Isabel Coixet. But I don't think about... but, well, work with David, it was fantastic because he was really relaxed. As soon as we met together to talk about the script, he told me, don't worry about the rehearsals. Let's go to rehearsals as soon as we were in the desert, in Almeria. Don't worry about it. And I discovered for myself that it was really good, that because this is a road movie. And it's not only a trip for the character, but for the actor too. And it's a kind of knowledge across the film, no? And for me, it was a trip. It was a fantastic journey, and share this trip with David.
David, I need to ask you this. The licensing rights to use the Beatles music in Strawberry Fields Forever is in the film. Mad Men recently paid $250,000 to use a song from the Beatles catalog.
But Mad Men has a lot of money, you know?
That's true, and this is a relatively low-budget movie. How did you negotiate all that?
Well, at one time, we in the negotiation, it was a very long negotiation because we had this small budget, you know, typical Spanish medium movie is not comparable to a big American studio film. At one time, they asked for the material of the film, what the story is about, what are we, in what context you are using this song. And even I had to show them one of the sequences of the film, edit for them. Just to see if they allow us to use it. And I have to say they were very generous because they loved the movie, they loved the idea, and so that made things easier for us.
Gentlemen, as a critic, you see a lot of movies, you see, okay, this movie won 6 Goya Awards, Spanish Oscars, and sometimes you see things and you're like, yeah, what was the big deal? This is a genuinely touching, heartwarming movie. So congratulations with it.
Thank you.
Your fantastic job, and best of luck.
Thank you, because we are very proud of this film. Thank you.
Living is Easy with Eyes Closed is now playing exclusively in Miami at the Coral Gables Arts Cinema, 260 Aragon Avenue in Coral Gables, and exclusively in Broward at Cinema Paradiso Fort Lauderdale, 503 Southeast 6th Street, and Cinema Paradiso Hollywood, 2008 Hollywood Boulevard. For more information, go to GablesCinema.com or FLIFF.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak, is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the os and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is plantains. Sherman, my boy, as Mr. Peabody from the old Rocky and Bullwinkle TV show might have intoned, please set the Wayback Machine to the summer of 1973. We're going to a little restaurant on Duval Street in Key West called Cafe Espresso. And my memory's projector would rumble, stutter, and then start. Oh, yes. She's coming into view quite clearly now. And although I can't remember her name, I do remember some of the structurally challenged stretch pants, a great gold-gilded toothed smile, and her nearly orange hair. She was a Bantu goddess of sorts, but brought down to earth to commune with us mere mortals for a spell. I was helping some carpenter buddies of mine rebuild some of the tottering wooden houses on the island back in the early days of Key West's restoration, and it was numbing work, let me tell you, and man, could we eat back then. We needed big filling plates of food, and we had little money to get the job done. We'd go to Cafe Espresso for lunch or dinner sometimes, and she was there either way, dishing out the rice, pork chops, breaded steaks, fish stews, various bean soups, and of course, those sweet, honey-hued, chewy-soft, heavenly fried plantains. Plantains were the very first exotic food that I tried when I moved to Key West that just nailed me. But what was truly remarkable was how they made the other things on my plate also harmoniously delicious. Delicioso. It sounds so much more correct in the Latin, emphatic style. In Spanish, they are called plátanos. There are various types of plantains. Plátanos verdes, or green plantains. Plátanos pintones, green plantains, which are just beginning to turn black and are often boiled. Plátanos maduros, which are almost totally black and very ripe and sweet. Plátanos burros, which hail from Hawaii, where they are called huamoa and are much fatter than the Latin varieties. Plantains differ from regular bananas in that they are always eaten cooked. Conversely, bananas are not a good substitute for plantains. They are extremely durable to ship while they are still in their green phase. Plantains are a major food in West and Central Africa, Central America, and the Caribbean islands, and northern coastal parts of South America. Their value as food is that they fruit all year round. In West Africa, plantains are primarily used to produce beer. I'm not sure I would like a beer made from plantains, but once upon a time I didn't even think I'd like caramelized plantains, so I'm willing to give it a go. At first, I didn't have the understanding when I cooked them for us at home. I had no abuela coaxing me to let them ripen, Chico. Let them turn almost black if you want them to taste the way you like them in the cafe. But you live and learn, no? The green ones are good for chips, and the black or maduro ones are the ones for the sweet caramelized ones. It's those maduros that I use to make an intense, smoky, creamy sauce for my take on roast pork Havana Nueva. There are four different sauces on that signature dish of mine. But 7 times out of 10, guests ask me, "What's the one that is kind of golden and sweet, Chef?" "It's the plantain crema," I'd tell them. I love plantains. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Scones. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Andy, regale me with fabulous tales of the fabulous Keys.
Ed, we have so many events going on here coming up in July. We're not going to even start with the small talk. We're going to get right to it, okay? So here we go. First of all, down in Key West, through the 31st of July, the 6th annual Key West Art Garden. It's at the Key West Tropical Forest and Botanical Gardens. And the interesting thing is that there are 19 sculptures, each made of recycled materials, and they're placed throughout the garden. They're all created by local contemporary artists. Now, Ed, down in Key West, there are three exhibitions at the Key West Custom House, courtesy of the Key West Art and Historical Society. First of all, only a couple more days for Marky Pearson, Night Visions, and Technicolor, but much more time for Key West or Bust, the History of Tourism, explores the history of visitor experiences from the 1920s until 1980s. That's through September 30th. Also through September 30th, artist Will Fernandez, he paints, he sculpts almost entirely from memory and also makes his work quite humorous and whimsical. A little more Key West here, Red Barn Theater, July 1st through the 6th, presenting Night Mother. And then, still in Key West, July 3rd to the 5th, it is the Key Lime Festival, Ed. It's an all-American celebration of Florida's official and, of course, one of the most tasty pies ever made. There's all kinds of different events, including the creation of the world's largest key lime pie.
Whoa.
Last year, they made one at 8 feet in diameter. This year, we're looking at 9 feet in diameter. There's also a key lime pie eating contest and even a Miss Key Lime beauty pageant. Of course, that next weekend throughout America, big July 4th weekend celebration and many different celebrations in the Florida Keys kicks off in Key Largo. It's the 39th annual 4th of July parade. It's co-sponsored by the Reporter and the Key Largo Chamber of Commerce. Theme, Salute to Patriots of Liberty. The parade gets rolling along at about mile marker 98.2 at 10 o'clock in the morning on July 4th. Then afterwards, there is a free admission community picnic at Rallis Marina, mile marker 104.5 Bayside. Fireworks later on, of course, fireworks, big fireworks show still in Key Largo on Blackwater Sound. That's mile marker 103 through 104.5. More fireworks celebration a little bit further to the southwest there at Alamorada Founders Park, mile marker 87. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. Down in Marathon, the Middle Keys, the traditional Marathon Beach Party and fireworks show. It'll be at Sombrero Beach, and also it'll be preceded by a 10:30 in the morning Marathon Patriotic Parade. It'll start from Marathon High School down to Marathon Beach, and of course, big fireworks celebration caps that event as well. Down in Big Pine Allure Keys, the Big Pine Allure Keys Rotary Club has its annual 4th of July fireworks. It'll be at the Big Pine Community Park, mile marker 30, Bayside at the end of Sands Road. And then down in Key West, it is the 30th annual Hospice of the Florida Keys and Visiting and Nurse Association picnic. It'll be at the Casa Marina Resort and Beach Club. And the celebration starts at 5 o'clock in the evening with fireworks starting at 9 o'clock, courtesy of the Key West Rotary Club. July 10th to the 13th down in Key West, honoring the late treasure hunter Mel Fisher. It's Mel Fisher Days. And, of course, Mel Fisher and his crew uncovered a $450 million cache of Atocha treasure and artifacts in July of 1985 after a 16-year search. Fisher's son, Kim Fisher, continues to lead the search for Atocha artifacts and treasures and many that still remain undiscovered. How about a little bit of underwater music, Ed? It is the 30th annual Underwater Music Festival. It's off of Big Pine at the Lou Key Reef in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. This year's theme, Diving with the Stars, not Dancing with the Stars, but Diving with the Stars, and it's staged from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. by Keys radio station US 1 Radio. The music, by the way, is broadcast underwater via Lubell Laboratory speakers that are strategically positioned above the reef and, of course, hung from boats that are part of the extravaganza. And I have seen Elvis at this event.
I bet you have.
I'm not kidding you. We have seen the snorkeling Elvises Will they be there this year or not? Can't tell you, but certainly we always get a mermaid and just a great event. Again, it's the 30th annual Underwater Music Festival. And Ed, we must finish up this report talking about the July 15th to the 20th Hemingway Day celebration. It's the 34th year. Ernest Hemingway lived in Key West throughout the 1930s, and this celebration honors him with the Hemingway Lookalike Contest at his favorite watering hole, Sloppy Joe's Bar, the Drambuie Key West Marlin Tournament, Laurie Hemingway Short Story Competition, and so many other events. Of course, add much more details on other events that we don't even have time to talk about on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com.
Thanks to Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council for all those great events in the fabulous Florida Keys. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you, Ed.
Let me mention CultureShockMiami.com gives students ages 13 through 22 quite affordable access to the arts, such as the production Feet Don't Fail Me Now. Heatbox, the human beatbox, joins the swinging seven-piece funk band on stage on June 28th here in Miami-Dade County. And that and many other Miami-Dade County events, films, festivals, and museums. For more info, go to CultureShockMiami.com or call 305-375-1949. And please don't forget the Kickstarter rally tomorrow at Churchill's Pub in Little Haiti at 8 p.m. seeking funds to support the production of the documentary Little Haiti Rock City and the Kickstarter campaign online. For more info, go to littlehaitirockcity.com. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.